Well, amen. Praise the Lord. It's the first Sunday of 2018, and we're going to do something different today. We're going to have a Bible study, and Sister Venice has said that she has a word that she believes. Amen. And the topic would be desolation. So could we have the first scripture that the Lord gave you? The book of what?
Zephaniah.
All right, let's go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. It's the fourth last book of the Old Testament. Zephaniah. Okay, there's three chapters. And what was the part of the scripture?
Well, I was just reading through everything. Actually, I did like Bible studies and Zephaniah. Then I went over to Zechariah. And then I went to Isaiah 24.
All right, now where did you find mention of, what was the word?
Desolation.
Desolation. Did you find that word mentioned in Zephaniah?
Yes. Zephaniah
1, 2 verse 4. 2 through 4? All right, and then I'm going to go over to verse 14, and maybe all right. Let's just stick here with Zephaniah for a little while. All right, chapter 1. If you don't mind, I'll read it. The word of the Lord came unto Zephaniah the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. And I will stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chimeans with their priests. All right, is that a good place to stop? Yeah. Well, so far, what do we see here? What is God saying? You speak up and help me here.
He's speaking destruction,
okay. Why is God speaking such a thing of destruction? Why would he say that? It sounds like he's going to consume flesh. It sounds like he's going to consume... God is not interested in consuming holy things. But he's interested in removing the unholy things from the land. And what he's mentioning here of Baal, the word Baal actually means Lord, but it's a false Lord. It's a false God. And he mentions the name of Chimerins and the priest. Now, Chimerins are, let me see, I think there's a... it says literally idolatrous priests and pagan priests, but there was a god that they worshipped also called Chemish, which is something like they're all kind of the same thing really, but okay, it says, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcham. There's another one of their gods, or this is Moloch, Milcom or Moloch. Do you know what anything about the god Moloch? By the way, apparently the Ammonites worshipped this god Moloch, and the Israelites were worshipping it too. Now he's mentioning two things here that he's going to cut off. Those that number one, those that worship the host of heaven. What would that be? We have a name for it today. It's called astrology, which is different from astronomy. Okay, there's nothing wrong with knowing the stars and the things that move up there. But what astrology is it takes these 12, what are they called?
Zodiac.
Yeah, the zodiac signs, and it makes a god out of them. Do they still publish that thing in the newspaper? I don't get a newspaper anymore.
Not in the newspaper, but they have websites about it, and they put it on social media too, every now and then.
Oh yeah, and the doctrine of this thing is that there are certain spirit influences in each of these signs. Okay, demonic influences is what they really are, and if you're born under one of those. Yeah, one of those things, then that's the way you're going to be. In other words, you're going to have the spirit of that thing. For instance, I don't know, the one I remember is Scorpio. Scorpio, the scorpion. Scorpion is ready to bite and sting. So the theory is a person that's in that kind of a thing, they're feisty, they're hot, they're short-tempered, you know, ready to blow up at a moment's notice. And well, you can't help yourself. That's the way you are. That you were born in that sign. You know what I mean? And I tell you, if you start giving in to those things, they're going to have you, because it's opening the door of your soul to these things. We are born under no other sign than the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And no, it does not matter what kind of spirits we inherited from our ancestors, we are overcomers in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. So that is the one thing that he's saying. The people that how did he call it? That go on the housetops? Where is it? Yeah. Worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. They go up there at night so they can study their zodiac things, and they're worshiping it. Is what they're doing now. This Moloch is a horrible. You've never seen pictures of this god. It is a horrible thing. I try to describe the thing. It was basically a little a place where they lit a fire. And it had a hole in this risen up thing, had a fire down in here, had a hole in it, and they'd sacrifice their babies. They would, and there were kings that gave their babies to sacrifice to Moloch. It was after Solomon. I don't know, was it that next king that came in to take over Israel, that he was the first one that was guilty of that? What was his name? Who was the son of Solomon that became the king of Judah? Rehoboam. No, Jeroboam. I forget which one. One of them was the son of Solomon. The other was a wicked man that came in and took over Israel. And every time a king is mentioned in the Old Testament, it says that he followed the sins of that man. I think it was Jeroboam that caused Israel to sin. Okay, every wicked king, even Ahab was compared to him. So he brought in this worship of this god, and it was a combination. There was a female, Ashtoreth, and Baal, but sometimes Baal came in the image of this Moloch, all right, or Milik, or Milish. Okay, they had different names for it, different language, a slightly different name. So how do people worship this Moloch today?
Abortion.
Yes, of course. I mean, it is such a quote unquote sacred cow that there's no politician dares to touch it. I mean, the cry of the feminist, rise up, throw that man out of office. He's going to take away our reproduction rights. Have no business being in our bedroom. You know, this is the kind of things they say. And it, along with this comes this sodomite lesbian movement, and now transgender, and now the whole thing is a total corruption of the purpose of God in creation. God made it very clear. He created them male and female. He did not create them male and female and transgender and some other gender and gender 5 and whatever. No, He didn't. God is not that confused. He knows what He made. That's what it is. And it is extremely, extremely rare for someone to be born that you can't really tell for sure. I mean, this is a one in a gazillion cases. There's no point in making a big deal over it. Okay? Yes. Once in a while, somebody is born totally deformed. All right, so let me go over, if I can, to maybe verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry in the fish gate, and a howling in the second. What does that mean? A howling in the second. From the what? From the second quarter. And a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh. Maktesh, literally, mortar. A market district in Jerusalem. Okay? Maktesh market district. For all the merchant people are cut down, and they that bear silver are cut off. All right, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the economy. I mean, you can find the same thing in Revelation when the judgment is put on Babylon. All right, there are three aspects of Babylon. One is the religious Babylon. One is the political Babylon, and one is the economic Babylon. And isn't that the one we were reading last night? Can we go over there for just a minute, since we're doing a Bible study? Revelation, it's going to be in about chapter 20 or 21, maybe both. Okay, I'm looking for... it's got to be before that. Oh, here it is. It's 18. Amen. This is economic of Babylon. All right, I'm going to start in verse 11. You know there's a political, that's in verse 9. The kings of the earth committing fornication with this woman. The first part of it, chapter 18, the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is religion. It's religion. Okay, church. False church. So now we come to the economic. It says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. It's the same thing. I mean, this prophet Zephaniah sees the same thing, except he's talking about Jerusalem. All right? And Jerusalem, of course, has a spiritual meaning as well as a natural meaning. The natural meaning of Jerusalem, of course, it's a natural city. But spiritually, Jerusalem is the church, the people of God. Amen? So now here in chapter 18, Revelation, says, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. It's the same thing as Zephaniah saying they're out of silver, a medium of exchange. That's what people use to buy their everyday things. Silver is gone. All right. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple silk, scarlet, all time wood, all manner vessels of ivory, manner vessels of most precious wood, brass, iron, marble. Amen. All the stuff that's made in China. I'm sorry. I mean, we make it too, but these massive ships are constantly traversing the Pacific Ocean. Huge ships the size of football fields coming across the ocean, full of these goods, taken to Walmart, Target, oh, name the others, you know?
Supermarket.
What?
Supermarket.
Well, no, most of the supermarket stuff is coming from right here at home. Oh, there is some stuff. Bananas, pineapples, you know, some of the stuff that isn't growth. But they're bringing all their goods. And listen to this. He says, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots. Well, not so much horses today. It's cars. We don't ride horses. We ride cars. But it means the same thing. It's spiritual language. Loads of cars coming from Japan. Loads of cars coming, you know what I mean? Horses, chariots. Yeah, there's your chariot. Slaves and souls of men. Do you believe slavery is still going on? Oh, indeed it is. Slavery is still going on. People are still being captured and sold into slavery. And you know what? These Muslim nations are buying some of these. They buy women for slaves. And not to go work in cotton fields either. Africa. What do you think happened to all those girls that were captured in Nigeria? Some of them got free, but they didn't all. Some of them were forcibly married to Muslim men. And what is their purpose? To produce babies for them. This is slavery. And you know what? It's not just natural slavery. It's slavery of the souls of men. The souls are captured. Souls are captured by entertainment, by video, by music, by the souls of men are put into captivity to these demonic spirits. And they're trafficked. They're sold. They're bought. They're sold. Well, let me go on. The fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. It's the same thing. It's the same thing you've been reading, sister. All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from me, and thou shalt find them no more at all. What do you think people are living for in America?
Pleasure.
I mean, when you pay hundreds of dollars to go to a football game, a baseball game, come on, people will pay it. What's going to happen when it comes to an end?
You can just leave, like, oh, it's over now.
I mean, come on, you can get all you can get. I'll be a little obnoxious here. You can get a meal, nourishing food in a restaurant, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, for a few bucks. But you know what? People will go to these fancy restaurants and spend more than $100 a plate. They'll get a bottle of wine that'll cost them a couple hundred dollars. They have to live this delicate, delicious lifestyle. What's going to happen when it all comes to an end? You know what? Does the world need more nail salons? What do women pay to go get these little things painted on their fingernails?
I don't know.
No, I'm glad you don't know. But no, I mean, I hear women talk about it. Oh, this. Then you see they got little pictures painted on them. I don't know what these little pictures are. Do we need more tattoo parlors? What are people... What? We have more money than we know what to do with. And God is saying, you're corrupt. You're worshiping these idols. And I'm going to take it all away from you. Suddenly, it's all going to come down with a resounding crash. Is that what God has been saying to you? In what you've been reading?
Yes.
Yes, it's coming to an end. Let me read a little bit more here. Rita and I were reading this, was it last night or the night before? I don't know. And the goodly things, amen? The things that you longed for, rich, splendid things that you need, that you thought you needed. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her. See, Babylon is not just a Roman Catholic church. Babylon is your heart of idolatry that wants and needs all this stuff. It wants it wants that kind of religion. You know, big flowing garments of gold and silver and hocus pocus, dominocus, you know. Yes, people like that. Oh, it is so regal, they say, you know. Yes, it's idolatry. The merchants of these things, which are made rich by herself, stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Yes, it's going to come to an end. And the merchants are gonna be hurt too. These guys have become millionaires. Billionaires, some of them. And they've done it, many of them have done it in a corrupt and a crooked manner. All right, let me go on. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, for in one hour, amen, hallelujah, in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Do you believe you can lose everything in 1 hour? If you have your money where these people have their money. See, they don't have their money in their wallet. That isn't where they keep it. They keep it in these electronic things. Have you heard this term called Bitcoin?
Yes, it's like some form of new currency that everyone's going after because it's tied.
It's imaginary. There's no such thing.
It's not.
You'll never hold one in your hand.
Yeah, it's
always
more.
And all of a sudden they started bidding this thing up to where they think these little coins are going to be worth. Well, some commentators said this thing might get to be worth $1 million for one of these little things. It's all imagination. It's all a matter of people thinking that it's something and it's nothing.
I had a friend of mine who was talking about it in school one time, and the conversation was that, you know, as hyped up as it is right now, I think I can just block and drop and, you know.
Yes.
Be just as...
And the same thing can happen in your investments in stocks. You invest in these things that these merchants... Okay, you can invest in it. It's called the stock market. Okay? Wall Street. You want to buy General Electric? How many of you want to buy Sears right now? How would you like to buy some Sears stock?
I think Best Buy.
No, Sears, they said, has lost $1 billion in the last year. They're closing a whole bunch more Sears. They're closing Kmart, not the one right here in Rotterdam. But, you know, well, actually, you go in there, it's pretty busy. It's the only show in town up there. But, no, you can invest in stock in these things. And what happens when all of a sudden... You never read about the 1929 stock crash, the market crash.
Yeah, the Great Depression.
One day, 1 hour, down, just like that. I mean, you've got stock that's worth $100 a share one day. You wake up the next day, you have a hard time selling it for 10 cents. Because the company just went broke. The company just filed bankruptcy because they can't pay their debts. Listen, God is in charge of all this. Do you wonder why the economy is holding on? Do you wonder why it hasn't crashed yet? Because God is merciful. He has not allowed it to crash. All God has to do is draw His hand back, open up His hand and release something, and kapoom, it's gone. By the way, why is paper money worth anything? It's a piece of paper. Why is a $100 bill worth what you think is $100?
Because people give it value.
Because you have, in your image of your mind, you imagine that it's worth it. It's a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper. Yeah, special made paper. But it's still a piece of paper. At its intrinsic value is zip. Now, give me a piece of silver. Yeah, that's worth something. I mean, I can hold that in my hand. It's rare, you know. Gold, it's even a little more rare.
Platinum.
Yeah, platinum. Yeah, that kind of thing. But God even holds the value of that. Let me read on here. For in 1 hour or so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster... You see what we're talking about? God knew that they were going to be hauling all this stuff by ships. I imagine when this was... There were only a few ships that were running around on the Mediterranean. They'd carry grain from, you know, back and forth to Rome and what have you. There wasn't much. No, not at all. And, you know, in the wintertime, they couldn't even run their ships across because of the storms. Now we run them 24/7. Doesn't matter what kind of storm. I mean, when the ship is as big as a football field, what do you care? Let it blow, let it storm, you know. Just a little wave for that big thing. All right, 1 hour. Shipmaster and all the company of ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, say, what city is like unto this great city? What does this mean, the smoke of her burning? I was asking about that the other day. Rita and I were reading about the smoke, the rising smoke of Babylon will rise forever. What does that mean? This is not literal smoke. See, there's nothing, there isn't much of tangible to be burnt with a natural fire. What does it mean that the smoke of this thing is rising and they can see it? Come on, open up our spiritual mind. What does this mean? It means spiritually something. There is a continual reminder before our spiritual eyes that we can see the destruction of this thing, and forever, somehow God is going to have a reminder for 1,000 years of what happened when man began to put religion together that was contrary to God's plan. He said the smoke of this thing is going to rise forever and ever. What do you think? Stench. Oh yeah, there you go. The smell of it. That's a spiritual sensitivity. You can smell it. Something smells rotten here. Somebody wants to make a deal with you. Okay? We need our nose. This doesn't smell right. It's too good to be true. Let me just finish. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships of the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Let me go to verse 14. Oh, let me do verse 12 of Zephaniah. Zephaniah 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with... Now the word says candles, but there's no such candle word in the word is lamps. And what does lamp mean? What is lamp? You can help us, Rita. Lamp? Lamp.
The Spirit.
Spirit. So he's going to search Jerusalem. Who's Jerusalem again? The people of God. He's going to search the people of God by the Spirit. Okay? He's going to search your spirit. He's going to search them by lamps and punish the men that are settled on their lees. What does that mean? Settled on their lees. Have you ever heard that term? You've never made wine, probably. I don't expect you have. Are you familiar how wine is made?
I don't know, it's grapes.
All right, it's grapes. What they do is the grapes are crushed, of course, and squeezed, and the grape juice is squeezed out of the grapes, okay? And then the juice is put in bottles. And if you want to really get some fermentation going, you can add some yeast and some sugar and this type of thing, you know, something. And what it does is it goes through a fermentation process, and the sugar breaks down and becomes alcohol. All right? Now, they leave the bottle sit, and what happens in the bottom of the bottle or jug or whatever it is, there's a sediment that forms. And it is not the best part. And what he's saying is, he's making a comparison here to being settled on the lees. This is what it means. The lees are the bottom. So when they pour out these... I don't drink wine. Okay. But I know what they do. When they pour this wine out, then to have a special party for their big shot friends, they pour the bottle very carefully. It's called decanting it. And they mustn't disturb that corruption that's at the very bottom of the bottle. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this is actually considered corrupt, very low quality. So they have to very, very carefully hold this thing, not shake it, not stir it. But what the prophet is saying here is that they are settled on their corruption. Alcohol. Corruption. Okay? Did you look it up, Rita?
Yeah, it says dregs or sediment as a fermenting wine.
Yeah, it's the dregs. And the dregs is not the good part.
Right.
Okay? And say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. In other words, they're saying, look, we can do anything we want to do. We'll have church the way we want to have it. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. Look, we're the ones that's prospering. We're the ones that have the 1,000 members. So God doesn't do good. He doesn't do bad. He's just letting us do whatever we want to do. That's their attitude. And the prophet is coming against that. Here's that word desolation then. Therefore their goods shall become booty. What's booty mean? What? You're using a word I don't understand. Booty means... What happens when there's a riot in the streets and they start stealing things from out of the stores? What's that called?
Looting.
Yeah, looting and booty. They loot and they take the booty home. The booty is the stolen goods. There we go. I got it right.
I was thinking treasures.
Well,
somebody else's treasures.
Somebody else's treasures. Yeah, it's what you've stolen. Okay. When an army comes in and robs and raids and takes things out of people's houses and steals it, they take booty. It's booty. It's a word we don't use very often. Okay. Their goods. In other words, your stuff will become booty to somebody else. Amen. And their houses, desolation. Desolation means gone, empty, broken. Do you ever see pictures of a house, the inside of the house that somebody has wrecked? Boy, what these teenagers have these parties. Where is it? Somewhere down the other side of Albany where they've had these things in these rich houses. Do you hear it on the news? About once a year they do it. Somebody does it. Some rich guy's out of town, and the kids come in, they have a horrible party, that tear the place all apart. That's a picture of it. Desolation. Of course, they get arrested. Mm-hmm. And they shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the city of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. The day of is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. There's your word again. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. That doesn't sound nice, does it? A day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. What is the purpose of the trumpet? What is the trumpet the equivalent of? It's the sirens.
It's a warning.
It's a warning. What happens when you hear? They don't have them in the cities anymore, do they? The fire sirens in the fire hall. Out in the villages, there's a siren at the fire station, and when they sound that siren, it means there's a fire somewhere, and it's a call to all the volunteer firemen. I don't think they do it in the cities because the firemen are all fully paid and they're sleeping in the fire hall, you know, and spending the night there and everything else. So nobody has to be called. They just have to ring their bell and everybody comes down the pole and gets in the fire engines and goes out. But it's a kind of an alarm. And in the Midwest, they have these too, don't they, Rita?
They have sirens for tornadoes.
For tornadoes. And if you live in one of these tornado, like you've had tornadoes in Iowa, haven't you? And what happens? Tell me what happens. How do you hear this thing when you're in your home?
This goes through the whole city.
These sirens just scream, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, I bet if you lived somewhere near Norman, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, that's a tornado alley right there. I've been there. Tornadoes every year going through there. But these sirens warn the people. And this is what he's saying, the trumpet. God is sounding a trumpet. All right? He's sounding an alarm. He's saying, he's sounding a trumpet against what? Against the fenced cities and the high towers. Boy, what what do we have in New York City? Okay, no, we don't have a wall around New York City. But everybody that lives in the city lives in a fenced apartment. I mean, they live in these things that are 30, 40 stories high. You don't get in the front door. There's a doorman there. There's guards watching the thing. Guards watching the elevators. I mean, everything is fenced. Everything is locked. And God is saying, you believe that your security is all settled. Your high tower. What happened to the high towers of New York City? They went down. What did they do? They said, we're not going to take that. We're going to build them back. Yeah, we'll build them higher, we'll build them greater, we'll build them stronger. I really wonder, are they saying, God, you can't shake these things down now. There's nothing that can break these. We've got these reinforced steel, we've got them fixed so that a 747 can slam into them and nothing will happen. No, I believe that man believes things like that. All right, let's go to another book. You had another book in mind. Yeah, Babel. Tower of Babel. What was the other book, sister? You said Zechariah. And where were you in Zechariah? Where? Oh, okay. I like Zechariah 2:7, by the way. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon.
Chapter 2?
Yeah. Deliver thyself, O Zion. Who's Zion again? The same thing. It's the church. It's the sons of God. Zion, by the way, is even higher than Jerusalem. Did you know that? Yeah, Mount Zion is even greater than Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is greater than Judea. So, you know, you can say, well, there's different levels of Christians. There's different kinds. God is sending the word to the Zion people, and he's saying, you're living with Babylon. Who? You're living with who? The daughter of Babylon? What does daughter mean? What does woman? What does woman mean?
Church.
Woman is church. So the Mount Zion people, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Zion. Now, I look in my...
Babylon.
What?
The daughter of Babylon, not Zion.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Zion that dwells with the daughter of Babylon.
Zion is supposed to escape.
Zion is supposed to escape. Now, deliver thyself. How many people say, well, I need deliverance? Do you know, look at your life. Look back at your life and how what the things you've come through in your life. Did you get delivered because somebody laid hands on you and rebuked the devil? Okay, yeah. I don't put that down. You need help. Sometimes you need help getting delivered from certain spirits. But you know what? If you're going to stay free, you're going to have to deliver yourself. As I go back and look at some of the things that I was delivered of in my... Well, I'll say my 30s, because I don't think I did much in my 20s. But I'll tell you, when you get to your 30s, brother, there's a calling to accountability in God. How old are you now? 20 what?
Just 20.
Oh, you got some years. No, when you can do it earlier. But for me, when I got to be 30, God really began to call me to some accountability. And I was either going to get serious with God or I was going to be swallowed up in hell. And I had to deliver myself of some things. And what I mean by that is I had to hold on to God. I had to fast. I had to pray. I had to say, my God, I cannot live with this. And I'll quote Brother DeCille. He had a couple of problems, all right? He said he struggled with lust when he was a young man. He said he struggled with anger, with a violent temper. And he went on a fast. Do you remember the story? I didn't have that much of a spirit of anger. Okay, I had other things to deal with. But he said he went on, what was it, a 40-day fast or something? And he said, God, you either kill me or I'm going to get delivered from this thing. Now, it wasn't just that he called in a bunch of guys, a bunch of big preachers to lay hands on him. I'm not putting that down. I'm making light of it. If you need preachers to stand with you and lay hands on you and get you delivered, go ahead. But you know what? After that prayer meeting is over with, you're still going to have to stand. And you're going to have to do the fight, and you're going to have to fight the fight. Because those spirits are going to try to come back. And here's how, listen to me, here's how he got delivered. He felt that God delivered him, all right? And he was a man who loved to fight. And he was a big man. He was a big, strong man. And he said there weren't many men that could beat him. He was Jamaican, okay? You know what I mean. And so he came, here he comes now, only a few weeks, he's delivered from the spirit of anger, fighting, that type of thing. And he comes up to a man, and the man gets in his face. And this man hauls off and gives him a fist right in the mouth. And do you remember his response to the man? He did not. He said that the thing wanted to come back to him so bad, he could have cleaned that man's clock in no time at all. Could have whipped him, just like that. But he just felt the joy of the Lord in him. And instead, I think he blessed the man. See, deliver thyself. God is saying that we, the Zion people, you have a responsibility of delivering yourself. If you know you've got a problem, you're going to have to go before God and you're going to have to say, "My God, I've got to get over this thing. I can't keep giving in to that thing that wants to get me down. That thing that wants to rob me. That thing that wants to rob me of my money. That thing that wants to rob me of my joy. That thing that wants to rob me of my testimony. I cannot give in to it. God, I am, and you know, you're going to be tested, just like Brother Basile was tested. The man comes up and whacks him in the face. I don't know whether he slapped him or hit him with a fist. I forget just how it happened. But you're going to be tested. Are you really delivered? And when you can walk away and it doesn't bother you anymore, you're delivered. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon. What is he saying here in this particular case is you're involved in the city of Babylon religion. And you need to be delivered from it. Because Babylon is not going to save you in the end. Babylon will not be a place of refuge. And the warnings that God has been giving you is that the time is at hand when you're going to need a refuge, because hard times are coming. I think that's what this whole storm business is all about. It's a reminder again to us not to be settled in on our lees, not to be settled in on our drunken dregs and just whatever will be, you know? No.
It's so true, because I remember when I brought to light about my gambling playing scratch off, and it seemed like the more I really put it out there, it seemed like the worse it had gotten, until I reached a place where I said I wasn't using all my money, but just the fact that a dollar went through that, it had put me into a state of depression so bad. And I said, "Lord, I can't live like this.
Amen.
I cannot continue like this." And I didn't even share it with anyone, that as with the church, that I was going through some of the things that I was going through. But when I least, I don't know how I put it, but God delivered me from that. And as you said, you come back to where you're tested.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember home one day before I moved to where I'm at now, and my lawnmower was coming at me for something was that I was moving, but I didn't pay all of the rent.
Mm-hmm.
I paid a portion because I was going to move, you know, in the midst of everything. And I thought I was doing good. And I felt a sudden urge to say, well, maybe I could go there and buy another ticket. I'll probably win someone and just shut it up. And then I thought everything. I said, God, the fact that this thing was touching my hand would make me so feel dirty that I don't even want it to go near my hand. You know, just the thought of it touching me would make me totally feel like. And I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, the fact that I have you blessed me with something, and then I go to want to get more, it's like I'm spitting in your face. Because you already blessed me. Why am I going out there to get more? And it convicts me, and I could gladly say I'm delivered from scratch up.
Amen.
Praise God. I have been delivered. And I know, you know, the cry that I put up, I mean, oh my God, I cried so much. I never really shared so much to anyone, but I cried so much to God. And He delivered me.
And you know, that was just the strangest coincidence. Mm-hmm. We don't ever go to that mall in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever go there. It was the only time in years that we ever walked in, and there you were. It was just like
the lowest point in my life.
God set it up, sister.
It was such a low place in my life. Oh my God.
But you know, the thing is that it had to have hooked you sometime by giving you something. One time or another,
mm-hmm.
It gave you something.
Yes, I remember.
Maybe the first time.
The first time was that I won $1,000.
Yes.
The clear blue.
Yes.
So, well,
and see, that hooks you.
I must be lucky. So that's what happens. So it wasn't that I was spending everything on it, but the fact that I was using any of my money towards something God had already blessed me with, tears, and Brian could tell the story. I mean, the crying and the depression and all those things I went through. And I said, this is not of God. And it seemed like the more I cried one at a time, the worse it got. And so when I really, really reached that place where I said, enough is enough, I can't live like this. I feel dirty, I feel unworthy, and God had
to. Well, that's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. And you know, I know how these things can hook you, because the first time you try it,
mm-hmm.
it'll give you something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever told you,
mm-hmm.
I was 28 years old and I was driving, I was leaving Alaska
mm-hmm.
to come back to New York. And I took a very long circuitous route. I said, we're going to see some states that I've never seen before. So we came down, Washington, Oregon, California, and then I said, okay, now I'm going to go over through Nevada and we'll work our way back east. And we stopped and overnight in Reno, Nevada, you know, the gambling state. And I went to check into a motel, and in those days you could get a motel for $6.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know, when you go into the motel, they give you a handful of tokens. And also, they gave you, I think it was 5 nickels and tokens to play on the machines. And also, they gave you a coupon that you could get a free meal in these casinos. I had never seen a casino in my life. So my wife and I, we went in the casino and we got our free meal. Well, that was nice. Now they've got you in the casino, and you've had a nice meal, and now you've got these tokens, and I don't want to go back to the motel with these tokens. So I took the tokens over to that round, the roulette wheel. Well, I didn't get anything there. And then I watched nowadays, they're all electronic. But in those days, you had to pull a handle. You put something in, you pull the handle. Now I see people sitting there feeding their credit cards into these things. We stop at one in Manila. It's the only place you can eat at this hotel. We have to go into this place. And the people are sitting there with their credit cards. draining their credit cards. And so I went in, I watched these people. I didn't know what these machines were, so I thought, I've got to watch and see. I've got these nickels that I have to get rid of. You know, I don't want to take them back, and they gave them to me, so I guess I have to use them here. And I watched this old woman at this machine, and she's just feeding. She had a whole apron full of nickels, and feeding them all into this machine. And finally she got so disgusted with the machine, it wasn't giving her anything, and she walked away. And I thought, man, that machine's got to be just about ready to burst. I put one nickel in, and the whole tray filled up with nickels.
Oh, wow.
I said, I collected them all, made change. I said, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to stay. I saw what it did to that woman. No, I'm getting out with my handful of nickels. It was just nickels, but you know, I could see how that thing would say, oh, look, you're the lucky one. You can really win at this. Amen. Well, let's do a couple more verses here. I want to go back to the first part of chapter 2. I will lift up my eyes, verse 1, and look and behold. Oh, I lifted up my eyes and looked and behold a man with a measuring line in his hand. What does this mean? A man with a measuring line. Amen. And he said to me, whither goest thou? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. God is examining his church. God is examining his people. This means, this is judgment, brethren. When God examines you, he's judging you. It doesn't mean he's going to send you to hell. It means he's going to find out what's in you, and you're going to find out what's in me. I'm going to find out what's in me. What am I all about? Because you know what? Most of the time, I don't know what's in me. I think I'm pretty good. Amen? But God is good enough to send those that love you that tell you you're not as good as you think you are. Amen? Okay, so, and behold, the angel talked with me, went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. And I said, the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saying the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. So, the Lord is saying, you don't have to have a walled city around you. I will be a wall of fire around you. And who's going to break through the fire of the Lord to do you harm? Amen? Now, verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. What's the apple of your eye? It's the pupil of your eye. You know what? Nobody's going to mess with your eye. You will defend your eye. Something blows at your eye and gets in your eye. Something comes at your eye. Your eyelid will shut in a split second to protect you. And God is saying, that's the way I feel about you. I will protect you as a man would protect his eye. Okay? For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Here it is. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Amen. Anything else, sister?
Could you define chapter 3 a little bit for me?
Chapter 3. Okay, this is where He showed me Joshua, the high priest. Okay, Joshua was the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this the brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Hallelujah. Now, what's happening here, Joshua the priest represents the spiritual life of the people of God. He was the representative to God in these Old Testament days. And he was not in his natural man, he was not perfect. In our natural position before God, we don't have any standing. I have no merit. The flesh has nothing to offer God. I have no cleverness. I have no intelligence. I have no goodness. I have no good record to present to God. I have no great history to give to God. My deeds, my own righteousness, amounts to nothing. I cannot come close to the holiness of God. I'm inclined to do things and think things that are not holy. I'm inclined that way. My mind wanders off into places that I don't want it to wander. That's Joshua. What God sees is he's clothed in filthy garments. And Satan sees it too. Satan knows. And Satan is coming to accuse. And he's saying, look at you, you worthless thing. You're never gonna have any standing before God. He's left you. He's rejected you. Can't you see that? You're never going to get anywhere. But the angel of the Lord comes and says, no, I'm going to take care of you. So what is our righteousness now? What is our garments now? Whose righteousness do we have? Christ. And what does it say? And again, you carry this right over to Revelation and you find the end of the story. And to her it was given. Right? Let's go read it. And I, John, 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Isn't that interesting? What's a sea? The sea of unredeemed humanity. The great whore sat upon many waters. Alright? They were her subjects, but there's none of that. Amen? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And where does it say that she shall wear her garments? Where does it say that? She shall be dressed in fine linen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I know it's here. Let me just find it here.
Revelation 19.
19. Okay, read it. Go ahead and read it, Rita.
There's
plenty of mention of the bride, but I wanted the one about her garments. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Go ahead and read it, Rita. 7 and 8.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
All right. And the righteousness is Christ. We put on Christ, which means I have to put off Mark in order to put on Christ. I can't wear both of them at the same time. Amen. Well, we've had a good time. Maybe we can do more.